This is Steve Sherlock with another in a series of podcasts for Franklin Matters.
From the town council meeting this past Wednesday, there are four things I think you should be aware of. However, the most important item from the week is the lack of a quorum at the Financial Planning Committee meeting on the 21st. So, from the town council meeting on Wednesday the 20th, the first item, the bylaw amendment covering the public notice and advertising of public hearings. You may recall this was discussed at the July 23rd meeting, and the council moved to adjust the notifications. Jeff Nutting referenced in this particular discussion two of the three questions from that meeting. He has answers for those two questions. The third question, to provide examples of such that would be covered by this change, if it was answered, it does not appear during the discussion, nor in the council meeting package that was available, and a link to that is included in the blog posting that accompanies this. So, let's listen to the discussion around the bylaw amendment, which was indeed accepted as amended in this discussion.
Next is bylaw amendment 08-627. Chapter 4, Public Notice in Advertising Public Hearings. The clerk will please read.
Motion to waive the reading.
Second.
All those in favor of waiving the reading, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Jeff?
I've done this before. There was a couple of questions. One, what was the cost related to this issue? We spent about $30,000 on advertisement, but some of that is required by law, no matter what. And some of it's not related to this. So, for instance, if we're doing bids or job advertisements. So we only spend about $20,000 on legal ads only. But again, so we estimate the savings about $5,000 from a savings. On the other, the second thing we'd like, why this is only because in some instances it's not actually being followed, or it's very difficult to follow, as the memo talked about in the case of the Conservation Commission, that they're statutorily required to do, you know, have a public hearing, and this constrains that issue. So, and the other question was whether it can be 7 or 10 days. That's just a policy question, if the council is so inclined. We're just trying to cut advertising costs, meet all the statutory requirements of state law, clearly, and streamline the process for everybody else.
We need a motion to move it first.
Motion to move bylaw amendment 08-627. Actually, this is second reading, right? So motion Correct. To adopt bylaw amendment 08-627.
Second.
Tom?
What benefit do we get by cutting the notice period from 14 to 10 days? Is it just,
convenience? Well, actually, the proposal is 7.
I was looking at section C.
Oh, which
version? Which is the notification of abutters.
Not getting to that.
We just cut the period down to a bare minimum, allowing time to mail as well. The issue is that this imposes, under the local conservation bylaw, more stringent requirements than the state statute in the case of conservation, and it was putting conservation in a position where potentially people were getting approvals by default because they couldn't comply with the requirement to hold under the State Wetlands Act within the time period provided. So 10 days seemed to be reasonable to begin with.
I mean, I know that frequently becomes a limiting factor in how fast hearings can get scheduled.
That too.
And so, I mean, if it helps sort of speed up the overall process, that can be a good thing.
And I think it tried to address the issue of being away for a week at Council Bartlett.
I was really speaking to the beginning one, but...
Okay.
Anyone else? Deb?
Yeah, the first A, putting it in the paper only 7 days before... I know that we have a timing thing with getting it in the paper, but I'm still concerned that the paper comes out on Friday or whatever, and they see it, and it's the next, you know, whatever, the next Friday, the next Tuesday, and people don't have enough time to...
Again, if 10 days is not going to be amended, I think we can make it work for the conservation.
Do I need an amendment motion, then, to make it 10?
Yeah.
I'd like to make a motion to amend this... Part A to be 10 days instead of 7.
Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, none. Any other questions? All those in favor of bylaw...
Roll call.
Roll call.
Bartlett?
Yes.
Joke?
Yes.
Mason?
Yes.
McGann?
Yes.
Effort? Yes. Valley?
Yep.
Chair?
Yes. And that's as amended.
As amended.
Yep.
The second item from the town council meeting is the resolution to accept the transfer of care, custody, management, and control of the Red Brick School from the school committee to the town council. Jeff is asked during the discussion around the other interests that have expressed and inquired on the future of the Brick School. He goes into detail on one of them, the Benjamin Franklin Charter School. That's discussed, but the inquiry by the Franklin School for Modern Art is not referenced in this discussion, although it has been covered in the Milford Daily News and the Boston Globe, and links to those interests and inquiries are included in the blog post that accompanies this. So let's listen to this section of the meeting here.
Next is Resolution 05-55. Transfer of care, custody, management, and control of Red Brick School from Franklin School Committee to Franklin Town Council. The clerk will please read.
Whereas town owns a property at the intersection of Lincoln and Maple Street, shown on Franklin Assessor's Map 268, is parcel 16, consisting of 11,654 square feet, more or less, and containing a building known as the Red Brick School and related improvements. Whereas said property has been under the care, custody, management, and control of the Franklin School Committee for educational purposes. Whereas the Franklin School Committee has determined by formal vote that said property is no longer needed for educational purposes and has given notice thereof to the Franklin Town Council as provided in General Laws, Chapter 40, Section 15A. Now therefore be it ordered and adjudged that the Franklin Town Council hereby transfers the care, custody, management, and control of the town-owned land at the intersection of Lincoln and Maple Street shown on Franklin Assessor's Map 268 as parcel 16, consisting of 11,654 square feet, more or less, containing a building known as the Red Brick School and related improvements from the Franklin School Committee to the Franklin Town Council to be held for general municipal purposes as it shall determine, as provided in General Laws, Chapter 40, Section 15A. This resolution should become effective according to the rules and regulations of the Town of Franklin Home Rule Charter.
Move Resolution 08-55.
Second.
Before we have any discussion, I want to point out that we as a council are only taking control of the property known as the school. We are not having anything to do with taking over the school or the decision of whether the school will be opened or closed. Does any councilors have any questions or comments? Joe, did you have your hand up?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It says we have control of the school. So can you...
Of the property. We do not run schools as the town council.
Okay, so once we take control of the property,
mm-hmm.
of which the school sits on the property, do we have control of any entity that may occupy that
yes.
present school?
Yes.
We do. Thank you.
Yep. Scott?
What would be an example of what an entity would be?
If we chose to have some public entity go there, we as a council could make that decision. And Jeff, correct me where I'm wrong. If it's a private entity, if we still chose to entertain that, we would have to do a request for a proposal and allow anyone to right. submit a proposal of what that property would be used for, what their proposal would be, and then we could decide on those.
And then you'd have potential zoning issues as well.
Depending upon what the use
right. is. But, so anything that is exempted from zoning, educational, religious, or not-profit, is a less of a roadblock than... You know, a for-profit business.
And I know last time we were in here, there was a conversation regarding a couple of parties who were potentially interested in using that space. What's the status of that at this point, Jeff?
Well, I know that the charter school met with the Red Brick School Association last week and had a discussion about if they're interested in it and talked to folks and... The charter school is going to go back and think it over with the board of directors, see if the charter allowed to it, potentially might use it for an after-school purpose. They said it would take a couple months to get back to get an answer back. That's what I know. And they were thinking, obviously, after school, because they really can't put a classroom in there because they don't have space then to absorb that class into the current operation. On the other hand, the lease requires them to get out at a certain time because it's used for other purposes. So,
Mr. Chairman, can you give a rundown of what the process is for the council in order for the next entity to use that building? What do we have to do?
We, at some point, if we chose to have it not be a public entity, we would have to vote to take requests for proposals and then evaluate them.
Right, you'd have to declare it surplus.
Right.
And then depending if it's a public entity or a private entity, again, there's a different process from a procurement perspective. So if another public entity wanted to use it, that's different than if a private.
Thank you.
Bob? I just want to go on record, Mr. Chairman. I know that it's beyond our control, but I agree and support all of those who are trying to keep that open as a school. And I still don't really understand the logic why they're closing that school, especially when we've had all kinds of offers of financial support, even from people out of town. So I want to go on record as I agree with those people, and I wish we could do something about it personally, but I guess we can't. Thank you.
Joe?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with what Councilor Valley just said, but just so I totally understand, let's say we had five different entities that wanted to rent that. We would have to go out to an RFP?
Yes.
Okay. And then the highest?
No. It would be the same thing like when we sold the four corners.
An RFP is based on what you believe is the best interest of the town. It's not based on price. It's based on, you know, you set a criteria. We want this activity at this location. As an example,
and then
people submit proposals that would meet the criteria by which the council set, and then you evaluate those.
Thank you.
If there was okay. More than one, any of them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Judy?
The building is now on the historic register as a school.
Yeah.
If it's being turned over to us and no longer uses the school, does that negate the historic register?
I couldn't get that answer yet.
Okay.
Because I had to make some phone calls, so. That's why I think trying to get another school to use it would go a long way to resolving that issue, but I don't have an answer for that yet.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? All those in favor of resolution?
Two-thirds vote.
Okay. All those in favor of resolution 08-55 say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
6-1. It passes.
The third and fourth items from the town council meeting, I don't have audio to accompany them, but briefly, the zoning bylaw amendment that covers the land along the Knights of Columbus, Tedeschi's, and Dunkin' Donuts, changing that from business to commercial 2, was moved to a first reading, and the hearing was closed. So we'll still see that in a future town council meeting as they move that to a second reading and then finally vote on it. The fourth item is the update from Jeff Nutting in regards to the fuel usage within the town vehicles. They've issued a no idling policy, and the administrator will come back to the council with a request to balance the fuel budget. With the increase in gas prices that we all have seen, the town itself is projecting they'll be about $100,000 short of what was budgeted for this item. So Jeff talked about coming back in a future meeting with some actions to handle this. Apparently there was also a change in our revenue projections due to some accounting around the MBTA and GATRA assessments. Our local legislators were successful in reversing a charge, and this change apparently will result in an increase in revenues of about $160,000. So Jeff will come back apparently with a utilization of that, or at least some of that money, to cover the shortfall. How we'll use the rest is open for future discussion, so stay tuned to see what happens on this front. And the fifth item, the most important thing I think that happened this week, was the lack of the quorum at the Financial Planning Committee meeting on 8/21. I was there. There were two participants, official members of the group. Two adjunct members, Jeff Nutting and Wayne Ogden, were there. So of the 9 official members, 2 showed up. Only one other was acknowledged as having had a prior notification of absence. So 3 of the 9 were accounted for. What happened to the other 6? Now, granted, it's summertime. There are schedules, family commitments, but this is a group that's chartered with our defining our financial future needs and then coming up with a plan to communicate that to all of us. Here, their own internal communications are lacking. Will they be able to communicate out to us once they come up with a plan as to what they're going to do and then attempt to get our buy-in to that plan? At this point, I have questions. I suggest you should have questions as well. We should reach out at least to the public members that for which we have email addresses and encourage them to get their act together. Their next meeting is in a couple of weeks, I believe September 4th. Check the town website. There is a published calendar. There are no minutes published from the meetings that they have existing. There are no agendas published for future meetings. There's a little bit of lacking detailed planning that needs to be done here. Maybe they even need a project manager. It would probably be good money spent, or money well spent, to do that. This is going to determine the future of Franklin. This is not an idle matter. This is a very important matter. And if they can't communicate internally, how are they going to be able to communicate to us? Enough said. So that was the 5 things that happened, 4 from the town council meeting, 1 from the financial planning committee meeting. This podcast has been a public service provided to my fellow Franklin citizens and voters by Steve Sherlock. For additional information, visit franklinmatters.blogspot.com. There will be some text that accompanies this podcast. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. That's sure, SHERSTEVE, all together, @gmail.com. And of course, the musical intro and closing is from the PodSafe Music Network, John Schmidt, with powerful, exhilarating piano music. I hope you enjoy.